Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And the fabulous service department that backs it all up. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And the Sunbury Motors Studio mobile today in Chicago as I literally overlook Lake Michigan. And we want to get the show off to the right start, the proper start, get the tone set, get the audience engaged. And that can only mean one thing. It's time now to go over to the Bitterness Cafe and the proprietor, Matt Cotrillo.
Well, not only is it game day for Penn State, Steve, it is officially the post-gym, get-off-my-lawn era of Jim Boeheim. And it's fantastic. I am not the only one that is making this notion. From what happened with that student reporter a few weeks ago to how he handled his final days as Syracuse head coach, Jim the curmudgeon Boeheim is no more in Syracuse after 47 years of stubbornness, of being, in my mind, just rude to the media, condescending, a little passive-aggressive, you name it. And it came down to his final days as well as a coach with Syracuse by telling the reporters, well, I gave my retirement speech on Saturday. Oh, really? Maybe if you weren't so condescending and passive and everything else under the sun, maybe they would have realized that instead of one person, apparently, who realized that. And even that, you still were being passive and condescending about your future, back and forth with the media when they're just trying to do their job. So, Godspeed, you crotchety old man. Enjoy your retirement.
Yeah, I know Dana O'Neill from The Athletic, who wrote a, rather, for the most part, I mean, fair-handed account. You know, Dana was with Dick Girardi and me last night at dinner, and she tried to reach out to Jim three different times, and then she's like, well, at some point I got to write the thing, so she did. And then he started texting her like, hey, you know, it's like, she reached out to you three times. At some point, like, you can't wait forever on somebody. Look, let's. I'll take this from a different viewpoint for a moment. You look at his entire life; it's been around Syracuse. I think there was a brief period of time where he played basketball with the Scranton Miners in the Eastern Basketball League. I think that's the only time he ever got a paycheck from anybody but Syracuse. So his loyalty to the university, his loyalty to the area, to the basketball program, and so forth, well, let's face it, that part is outstanding. The program right now, they went to the ACC from the Big East, along with, obviously, Pitt and Boston College are already gone. But they go into the ACC, and they've been a middle-of-the-pack team. And there does get to a point where everybody's kind of looking around saying, okay, after being in the Big East where there was that great run, especially in the 80s and 90s, and I know he won the national championship in 2003, but you know, he was able to get athletes to go and play basketball in the winter in Syracuse, New York, which is amazing. Now, we can, I'm sure there'll be a lot of debate as to how it happened. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know. But between Akeem Warwick and Carmelo Anthony and Jerry McNamara and Derek Coleman and, I mean, all the great players, there, you know, Pearl Washington, all the great players they had there, Syracuse was relevant year in and year out. When they went to the ACC, the relevancy started to slide back slowly but surely. And this goes to my point that I made, and this is going to be, I'm going to try and draw two at the same time here. When I was at Wisconsin for basketball, I was talking with Mike Lucas and Matt LePay, their broadcast team. And I think I also talked about this when with Andy North, too, at one point. And I said, let me ask you guys something. If they decide to go 1 through 16 in football, so this became a football conversation, is sixth place good? And they kind of looked at me like, wow. I hadn't really thought of it in those terms. Is sixth place good? Because right now, you know, the Big Ten is in divisions. So we know sixth place is bad. You know, but if you're second or third, are you okay? And now if you're going 1 through 16, is sixth place good? Well, now let's go back to Syracuse basketball. Was 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th place, 11th good? And that's what they were running into. It's going to be interesting to see if Adrian Autry can do something about this. Matt, my thought process is he will work hard. My initial guess is going to be no. I think Syracuse basketball is going to struggle for a long time without Jim Boeheim. Let's face it, there aren't many people that sit there and can get 30,000 people into a basketball arena for a regular season game. But there also is a time where you could just tell they had good players, but they no longer had great players. When Penn State beat them the last time they played, which was at the Barclays Center, that's what struck me. Penn State won the game, and actually won the game rather comfortably against Syracuse. And that was, I mean, watching them, now this is obviously what, I think it was the 1920 season. You're talking just three seasons ago. Like, I'm watching, I'm thinking, they're good. They're good. But there's nobody on that team that's great. All those great names I mentioned were all great college players. Great college players. The great college players, Matt, have stopped going there. There are other places to go. And I think Syracuse was trying to put, I think they looked at it and said, you know what? If we don't do something now, we may not be able to get it back. And to be honest with you, I don't think they're going to be able to get it back. I think it's going to be very difficult to do in the combination of location, unproven coach, not a name, you know, which is nothing against him. Everybody builds their name, right, over time. And being in the ACC is going to be a problem. I think the days of Syracuse being in the conversation in college basketball, they'll have some good years, but not the consistency. For the most part, he gave them a level of consistency. But, you know, they kind of masked it a little bit over time because they would have good regular seasons, and then all of a sudden he put together a great postseason. Right? He'd get to the Sweet 16. But what did I always say about Syracuse in the postseason? Right. to me, anytime they got in and could win the first game, I felt their odds of getting to the Sweet 16 went up exponentially. Why? Because they played the 2-3 zone, were so good at it, and teams aren't used to seeing it. And you, when you only have a 24 to 36-hour prep for it, it's not easy. And I always felt that was an advantage for them in the tournament. It is not an advantage for them in the conference tournament. Everybody's already seen it. Nobody has to sit there and go, oh, my goodness, what do we do now? But there you go. He's out. Then there is the situation at Ole Miss. And they're talking about the possibility of hiring Chris Beard. This goes back to what we talked about with Hugh Freeze and the hiring at Auburn. I mean, I'm all for giving people extra chances. But to me, if you want an extra chance in this profession, right, take a job in the Mid-American Conference. Take a job in the American. Work your way back. Prove that you're on the straight and narrow. I don't get this. I don't get. There are a lot of really good coaches out there. I don't quite get what Ole Miss wants to do here. Just like I don't quite know what Auburn did. Now, Hugh Freeze did do what I just talked about. He went to Liberty. But did he do enough? I don't know. And I'm all for giving people extra chances. I mean, the suit was on the show the last week. No, I'm just kidding. Different chance.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
But, you know, but you sit back and say, okay, they keep recycling people in this profession. Where you sit back and say, okay, really? Really? I don't know. I don't understand it. You know, everybody wants to win. I get that part, I do get. But you know what? There are actually a lot of really good people out there that are good people, that prove it every single day that they're good people and are capable of doing a good job and winning. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Bingo!
Colgate for the third straight year wins the Patriot. Today, Rutgers, suffocating defense, beat Michigan by double digits at the United Center and to get the day rolling. Michigan led the game 28-25 at halftime. And then in the second half, Michigan hit one shot in the opening 17 minutes of the second half. I mean, I'm no expert, but that doesn't sound like a formula to winning. It's just over here in the back. I just kind of, yeah. I think, yeah, I have to have hit a few more shots than that. So Rutgers moves on to get Purdue tomorrow. And Michigan, that is a loss they could ill afford to have. Mississippi State held on in overtime, beat Florida today, 69-68. Myron Jones, the former Nittany Lion, actually hit a three to send the game to overtime. He had 11 in the game, but Mississippi State won by one. And they now move on, and they will get the number one seed. And Alabama tomorrow. Now, Ohio State and Iowa at the half. Ohio State won last night convincingly. Well, actually, beat Wisconsin by, what, five last night. They lead Iowa at the half, 29-28. Now, as I've said many times over the years, like, results on the second day where you see teams with the dark jerseys winning do not surprise me. Why? Because even though you have a bye, which is a great thing, when you are playing a team, now Rutgers and Michigan did not play yesterday, but Ohio State played and won last night. Guess how they feel about themselves? Great. They have momentum. And this happens all the time in these tournaments. The teams win. Like today, like for example, Mississippi State won today. Mississippi State won last night. They had momentum going into the game today. It means a lot. That's why you'll see in these, you know, everybody wants and fights to get the double bye. And man, those double bye teams, like it's great. I'm automatically in the quarterfinals. Meanwhile, the other team comes in, feels pretty good about itself. Like, hey, all right. I mean, Big East tournament, St. John's took Marquette to overtime. Marquette won. Same story. St. John's felt great about their win last night, and they took Marquette into overtime today. Just something about winning the night before, the momentum of it, a lot of times that carries over and it means something. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com, your home for the Bitterness Cafe.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today here at here in Chicago. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up with great technicians for the life of the vehicle. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Feel like we need to make another trip to the Bitterness Cafe here as we continue on, because I just got a feeling you aren't done.
Well, I'm not very happy with the injury bug right now with the Yankees, because Carlos Rodon is now heading to the IL, and before we would start the season, there's already hits to the pitching staff. I just don't get it. I really just don't get it.
It's March 9th.
I know, and he'll be back, and he'll be back sometime in April, but injuries kind of derailed the Yankees a little bit last year, and now we're not off to such a good start.
I thought it was lack of talent. All right, so
a little bit of that too, but
yeah, a lot of stars though. All right. Penn State, Illinois tonight. It'll be at 6:30 Eastern time, and on beginning at 6 o'clock tonight. It is the first game of the evening session, so it will start on time. Because what they do at the tournament, you have separate sessions on Thursday and Friday, an afternoon session, a night session. So when this game's over with between Ohio State and Iowa, whomever had afternoon session tickets, or even all session tickets, they do clear the entire arena out, boom, clean, and then come back in for the night session. So Penn State's the first game of the night session with Illinois. We don't know. We think it was a strange situation today where Penn State went over to the University of Illinois at Chicago for a shoot-around. And they have two gyms, women's gym, and on the other side of the partition is the men's gym. So we're in there, and in fact, former Nittany Lion Brandon Watkins, who was on the 2001 Sweet 16 team, made a couple of big shots on the Superdome to help beat North Carolina. Played terrific. He has been coaching most recently on the Bowling Green staff, and he was at practice at shoot-around today. So I'm talking with him, and then at one point I had to go out in the hallway to get something. And I looked over into the other gym. Illinois was shooting. I get it, both like shooting side by side here. Like, okay. Now, look, I looked in and I saw they were shooting. That's fine. One of the interesting elements is whether Jaden Epps can play in the game or not tonight. He got hurt in practice. I guess he took an elbow to the jaw, and he got a concussion to the point where he was hospitalized. He's missed the last two games. They've been starting Melendez. And look, like I said, I looked at it and went, oh, geez, Illinois is in there shooting. So, boom, I just turned around and left. I mean, I didn't go in. I just looked in through the window of the door. I'm like, oh, okay. Didn't expect that, and went back into the Penn State practice. So I can't tell you if Epps was practicing or not. We'll see. Which is fine. It didn't really matter to me. It's like when Penn State played. Let's see. Oh, did they play? Oh, when they beat Minnesota, they got Carrington and Dawson Garcia back. Good. Penn State won the game. They won the game with their guys out there. Good. So which is fine. They are a team that is, they're big. When Epps is not out there, he's 6'2". When Epps is not out there, and they have Shannon, Melendez, Dane Danger, Coleman Hawkins, and Matthew Meyer out there. Shannon is the shortest guy at 6'6", so they're big. They're also a team that will send four guys to the offensive glass. Penn State has done a good job in each of the two games of limiting the offensive rebounds for Illinois, 7 in each game. Illinois averages 11 offensive rebounds a game. So that will be one key tonight. You need to do a really good job on the defensive glass. Number two, you have to do a good job against their transition. And you cannot relax on a made basket, because if the ball goes into Terrence Shannon, now, he's the one that does this. The other guys don't do this. If you make a basket and the ball is thrown into Shannon, and especially lately he's been playing point guard because Epps has been out, he'll take it and try and beat you in transition off a made basket. And, look, the bottom line is Penn State's going to have to hit threes. And, yes, will Illinois hit a couple of threes in the way? Illinois is an okay three-point shooting team, but only okay. They'll hit some. Meyer will hit some. Shannon could hit a couple along the way. You know, maybe a Luke Goody off the bench might hit one. But Penn State needs to go out and hit its shots, and they will get open shots. It's going to be interesting to see how they play Jalen Pickett tonight, because they have played him straight up in the first two meetings. And he has been able to obviously play really well against them, and because this is what they worry about. The worry is if we run a second guy at him, he's so good that he's going to find the open person that we ran the second guy with. Okay, who did he leave? And that'll be one of the concerns for Illinois if they decide to play him straight up tonight. Yet Matt's more concerned about an injury in March. I worry about you. So. Bryce Harper says he's going to take his time, by the way, coming back.
As he should.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. Need him for the long haul. Slightly bigger name than Carlos Rondon. No.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Just wondering.
No, I'll give you that.
All right. So, Wisconsin lost last night and didn't look good doing it. Michigan lost today, didn't look good doing it. Which is a credit, by the way, to Ohio State and to Rutgers, because they both look good doing it. And this is the tournament life when you're sitting in the spot. It's not an unfamiliar spot that I've sat in before. I get it. You know what? It's your turn tonight at 6:30. Now you go out, take care of your own business. Okay? It's up to you to take care of your own business. You don't have to worry about other people when you do. How about that? And that's the bottom line. So, it'll start at 6:30 this evening. 5:30 here. And there you are. Conference tournaments, I mean, everywhere. Could talk a bit about the NCAA Wrestling Championship? Did you see the seeding that came out? I'm confused. I don't know about you. I'm confused. I'm not going to sit here and say that I follow wrestling in such a way where I know what everybody is doing across the country and I can dissect it the way I can dissect a college basketball game or a college basketball situation. And look, even now, I mean, I can't tell you in a million years what the committee is thinking right now. All right, so I can't tell you that. As much as I think I know about that, I don't know what they're thinking. That's their deal. But the NCAA wrestling thing, can somebody explain to me why Aaron Brooks is the third seed? I mean, seriously. I sit there and I saw that come out. I'm reading this last night. I think, what am I missing here? Am I missing something along the way? Max Dean, I could see, you know, obviously, you're talking about a defending national champion, but has had, you know, a couple of ups and downs, including the Big Ten tournament where he did not win. He lost in the final. I mean, Brooks lost a match early in the season. So what? He's the two-time national champion, you're telling me? So, Penn State, of course, as we had told you last week, was not going to have anybody at 125, and it played out that way. Now, Roman Bravo Young is the number one seed at 133. He's going to get the winner of McGuire Midkiff of North Dakota State and Jack Maeda of American. And Roman Bravo Young is justifiably the one. At 141, Bo Bartlett, who finished third at the Big Tens, is the number six seed. He's going to open up at 141 with Shannon Hanna of Campbell, who's the 27th seeded wrestler. Shane Van Ness is at 149. He's seeded 13th, so he'll get Johnny Lovett of Central Michigan, the number 20 wrestler, at 149. Levi Haynes comes in as the number two seed at 157, so great for him. After winning the Big Ten title, he will get the 31st-seeded Ashton Eiler of Lock Haven. At 165, Alex Facundo of Penn State is seeded 13th. That's about right. 20th, Holden Heller of Pitt. That's who he'll get in the opening round. Carter Storace, justifiably, is the number one seed at 174 pounds. And he will get a bye and then face the winner of John Worthing of Clarion against Will Miller of Appalachian State. Then we get to the, are we sure about this? Aaron Brooks is number three at 184. Really? That one took me aback. I thought, yes, did he lose early in the season? Yeah, but to me, I don't care what happens. Two-time defending national champ, hasn't lost since. He's the number one seed in the country, but he's third. Matthew Waddell of Chattanooga will be his opening bout at 184, but I found that to be baffling from 10,000 feet. Max Dean is the number nine seed at 197. He'll get number 24, Levi Hopkins of Campbell, to open up with. And then Greg Kirkfleet is number three at 285, and he will get the 30th seeded Hayden Kopass of Purdue. That was... I was kind of taken aback that Brooks was seeded third. But you know what? You just wrestle who's in front of you. And so that, you know, being a third seed, or in Dean's case a nine seed, you know what? You just wrestle who's in front of you. I'll say this, Dean being a nine would put him into a 9-8 matchup, which means then the next one's against the one. So, I mean, that is part of it. And Brooks being a three means that he would not see the one until the championship. Because he'd be on the other side of the bracket till then. Look, you just wrestle who's in front of you. But I just looked at it, went, you are, really? Are you kidding me? I was just really surprised, especially the one about Brooks. And I'm not so sure Dean seated correctly either. He probably ought to be a six. But nine? Okay. All right. But that's next week in Tulsa. And I think the women's ice hockey team is playing in Columbus today against Quinnipiac. I believe that's their deal today. And their first ever NCAA tournament matchup. All right, we'll get everybody up to date on scores. And we'll do that in a moment. What bothers me about the Bitterness Cafe is I feel like they installed a revolving door. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Some scores before the menus are brought over here at the Bitterness Cafe. Always love when Matt brings them out and goes, what do you want? It's just bitter. All right, so we'll start with the Big Ten, where Rutgers won today and beat Michigan in the opening game of the day, and won it by a score of 62-50. Michigan scored, just couldn't hit any buckets. Iowa leads Ohio State 36-33, 15 minutes to go in that one. Let's shift over now to the ACC, where a lot of people thought this was a big one for Pitt. Duke is clobbering Pitt, 66-39, with under 15 minutes to play in that game. Kansas, no Bill Self on the sideline today, illness. Kansas leads West Virginia 27-16 with 3:44 to go in the first half. Mississippi State in overtime beat Florida 69-68 in the SEC. Tennessee leads Ole Miss 11-10 at the under 16 in the first half of that one. And let's see, a couple of other scores for you to pass along. 1 minute to go, first half. Colorado leads UCLA 38-37. At the half, UConn leads Providence 35-19. Colorado State at the half leads San Diego State leads Colorado State 27-25. Marquette, in overtime, as I mentioned earlier, beat St. John's 72-70. Miami beat Wake Forest 74-72. Iowa State down Baylor 78-72. Games of interest later, Oklahoma State takes on Texas. North Carolina against Virginia of games of interest. And then Villanova-Creighton, of course, at 8:30 tonight as well at Madison Square Garden. Villanova finally has all their players back, which is going to be interesting. They're also 17-15. We'll see if it makes a difference against Creighton tonight. We'll find out. And Penn State and Illinois at 6:30, where I'm beginning at 6 from the United Center here in Chicago.
Now, Steve, John Ciotti on Facebook just says, believe me, Steve, us wrestling fans are scratching our heads on these brackets. So there you go.
Yeah, I was confused by that. John, I'm with you. I'm looking around saying, okay, what am I missing something? I mean, Aaron lost back, what did he lose, back in December? Once? And the two-time defending national champion who hasn't lost since is third? Max Dean is ninth? Max hit... a couple of problems at the turn of the year. And then it was terrific up until they got to the finals last week at the Big Ten Championship. He's ninth? No, I'm not saying Max should be one or two or three or four. No. I thought he'd be like sixth. Then you see Levi Haynes get properly seated as a two. That's why it doesn't. You know what? I can hear Cale Sanderson right now. Just wrestle who's in front of you. And that's the bottom line. You have to just wrestle who's in front of you. But I did find it, at least as a story, baffling. Baffling. And, so. Go from there. But right now, all the other issues out there in terms of, you know, this is a, this over the next few days, we don't talk at all about NIL plus or minus. We don't talk about transfer portals. Okay? All we talk about right now, basketball and wrestling and hockey, tournament action, whether it's on the mat, the ice, or the court. That's what we talk about right now. We talk about the results. All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.